We are very fortunate to have His Grace Ram Giridhari Prabhuji here with us today, and Prabhuji will be enlightening us by walking us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.31. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hare Krishna, Dhanwad, yes.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji, Dhanwad Pranam. All Guru Sri Srila Prabhupada, thank you so much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho bata mamanatmyam manda bhagyasya pashyata bhavachidda padamulam gatva yache yadantavat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Still, out of my foolishness, I prayed for things which are perishable. Purport. The word anatmyam is very significant in this verse. Atma means the soul, and anatmya means without any conception of the soul. Srila Rishabhadeva instructed his sons that unless a human being comes to the point of understanding the atma or spiritual position, whatever he does is ignorance, and this brings only defeat in his life. Dhruva Maharaj regrets his unfortunate position, for although he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always able to give his devotees the highest benediction of cessation of the repetition of birth and death, which is impossible for any demigod to offer, he foolishly wanted something perishable. When Hiranyakashipu asked immortality from Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma expressed his inability to offer such a benediction because he himself is not immortal. Therefore, immortality or complete cessation of the chain of repeated birth and death can be offered by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead Himself, not by others. Harim Vinana Mritim Taranti. It is said that without the blessings of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can stop the continuous chain of birth and death within this material world. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is also called Bhavachit. The Vaishnava philosophy in the process of Krishna consciousness prohibits a devotee from all kinds of material aspirations. A Vaishnava devotee should always be Anyabhilashita Sunya, free from all material aspirations for the results of fruitive activities or empiric philosophical speculation. Dhruva Maharaja was actually initiated by Narada Muni, the greatest Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra, for by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to the Vishnu Loka. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that although he was initiated in the Vishnu mantra by a Vaishnava, he still aspired for material benefits. That was another cause of lamentation. Although he got the result of the Vishnu mantra by the causeless mercy of the Lord, he lamented how foolish he was to have strived for material benefits while practicing devotional service. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness should be completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. Om Ajnana Timirandasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अहोबतममानात्म्यं मंडभाग्यस्य पश्यता भवच्चिदपादमूलं गत्वा याचे यदन्तव। अलास, जस्ट लुक एट मी, आई एम सो अनफॉर्चुनेट। आई अप्रोच्ड द लोटस फीट ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड, हू कैन इमीडिएटली कट द चेन ऑफ द रेपिटेशन ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ, बट स्टिल आउट ऑफ माई फूलिशनेस आई प्रेड फॉर थिंग्स विच आर पेरिशबल। So this particular context that we are in, this is a very interesting context where Dhruva Maharaj has got the darshan of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord has bestowed his benediction upon Dhruva Maharaj. But now Dhruva Maharaj is feeling guilty. He is confessing that his desire to have asked for the position above his grandfather is something completely material. And how stupid of me that I had asked for this. I'm so sorry, there's some construction work going on nearby and there may be some noise, please bear with me. So, hold on. Hare Krishna. So, this whole prayer or the whole submission by Dhruva Maharaj is such that it will help us in praying, reflecting, as well as aligning our priorities in Krishna consciousness. So, we are going to have three sets of reflections and three different aspects of this particular shloka or this particular context. Srila Prabhupada explains that a person who does not understand the Siddhanta of the soul. The Siddhanta of the soul actually mean not only about that I am not this body, spirit, soul. It is also means about the position of the Supreme Lord. Because just knowing I am spirit, soul, I have only crossed half the ocean. To understand I am not this body but spirit, soul, and I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord makes understanding complete. Prabhupada explains that only the Supreme Lord can bestow upon benedictions which are of this nature. Because the benediction that Dhruva Maharaj received is extremely unique and very, very rare. Hiranyakashipu's, if somebody thought the boon that Hiranyakashipu got was unique, the boon Ravana got was unique. The most unique boon, or the most unique benediction, that too of a devotee, is of Dhruva Maharaj. Because this is something that we as practicing devotees constantly yearn for, but we are not blessed with. Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports earlier that Krishna gives him a benediction that he will have all the material opulence for eternity, and this material opulence will not affect his consciousness, and he will eventually make it to the spiritual abode. Boy, is this not something that we look forward to? We always want that I will need all the enjoyments, so-called enjoyments. At the same time, I would like to be spiritually conscious and eventually make it to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada explains the boon that, or the benediction that Dhruva Maharaj was given, is something extremely rare, and if Krishna desires to give, who can stop it? So with that rarity, what Srila Prabhupada explains is that these rare boons and benedictions only Krishna can give. Nobody else have got the authority to give. And when Krishna gives them, nobody else can disturb it or question it. And Prabhupada further go on and explain, a genuine devotee who receives them will feel ashamed of himself for asking such a boon. So we are going to see in our set of reflections today, number one, the first reflection is about feel of guilt and how the feeling of guilt helps us in our Krishna consciousness. And principle number two that we are going to discuss is about the parameters that allures us from Madhurya Kadamini. We are going to learn what are all the different distractions, anarthas, which deviates us from Krishna consciousness. And the third, we are going to discuss about application of Krishna consciousness. So these three aspects will help us go over this particular context that we are currently in. The first aspect is about guilt. The most interesting aspect of this particular situation of Dhruva Maharaj is he got what he wanted, he got what he did not expect, and he got something which nobody can seemingly get them, but he is feeling guilty. A sadhaka or a sincere practitioner, if he has to make progress in Krishna consciousness and if he has to learn things, there are many, many qualities that we had spoken in the past and we will be speaking in the future. But one quality that we always need to inculcate within ourselves, and this cannot be distributed to others, is about the sense of guilt. The sense of guilt is something, if it is natural, if it is appearing within us, it is also an indication that we heard Bhagavatam class very attentively, we heard our japa attentively. The sense of guilt is definitely needed for every practitioner. So there are three aspects to this guilty feelings. Aspect number one is, how do you conduct yourself at guilt? Aspect number two, how do you treat others at the time of guilt? Aspect number three, what are you going to do next? Dhruva Maharaj says that I had Narada Muni, who can have spiritual master as much as Narada Muni. Very few people have such good fortune. Narada Muni is my spiritual master. I got the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains that I got to see Krishna within 6 months' time, unlike other great saints like Sanat Kumaras, who took many, many years. And incidentally, what I asked for, I also got. But it is so stupid that I am asking something which is perishable and which is no way closer to devotion. So the first aspect of guilt is about, we blow things within ourselves out of proportion to an extent. We zoom in and see the dirt within us and try to state them very clearly and start working on them. A sadhaka, if he is never guilty in his Krishna consciousness journey, when I say guilty, guilty is actually not necessarily only comes only when you make a mistake. Guilty can as well be that I am not making the progress in the pace that I wish to make. I am not making necessary progress as expected by my spiritual master. Or I am still of adulterated consciousness with some personal agenda. So guilt, not necessarily that it is a reactive process. Guilt could as well be a proactive one. Each and every one of us need to inculcate some amount of self-introspection, which I always state called honest guided introspection, to build in some sense of guilt. The reason we need to build this sense of guilt is, in general, as spirit souls, we have a tendency to be happy and to serve. These are the two nature, constitutional nature of the soul. To serve someone and to always remain happy. We always want to search for happiness. And we always want to serve somebody. Just because we got into this material world, we do not know whom to serve correctly, and we do not know how to be happy. That is why, if you deeply analyze our behavior, we constantly search for somebody to serve, either our family, either our friends, our company, our country, if not our pets. We want to serve somebody, and in every action, we expect some happiness back. This is the constitutional nature of the spirit soul, to love and to serve. To love, and which means extension of love, is to be happy and to serve. Technically, this was supposed to be to love Krishna and to serve Krishna, but because of our coming in contact with this material world, we love ourselves and our extensions, and we serve our materialistic surroundings. So this sense of guilt is brought in when we do not serve and when we do not love whom we need to. So hence, sadhaka in his journey of Krishna consciousness need to have some amount of introspection built in his spiritual journey, where he or she constantly think, how am I able to improve upon in loving and serving the Supreme Lord vis-a-vis loving and serving myself. This sense of guilt will not let us settle in, because when we want to be happy, that happiness cannot come when we are guilty. One proper disciple very nicely told that once you are in Krishna consciousness and heard few Bhagavatam classes and be part of Vaishnava Sangha, to do self-gratification is also going to be difficult. To sit in a movie, to go to a party, to eat food outside, to do things that are prohibited, it is not so easy also for a practicing devotee. Before coming to Krishna consciousness, those were obvious ones. But if he had come in contact with devotees, chanted some rounds, heard some classes, be part of some services, then the process is so purifying, even though we may not have completely got purified, the process brings in within ourselves some sense of guilt. So I can't now go and watch some things which I am not supposed to. So this is also an indicative point for practitioners that if I am practicing Krishna consciousness, and if I am occasionally or regularly getting distracted from Krishna consciousness and getting diverted to materialistic activities, and I don't feel guilty about it, there is something seriously wrong. If I am practicing devotee and I get distracted because of my conditioning and I feel guilty about it, it's good. Rather than it's very good, because the guilt plus our continuous association will help us move progress towards Krishna and purify our anarthas. So, in this case, Dhruva Maharaj, he is feeling so guilty after getting the benediction. He is explaining here that what a foolish person I am, what an unfortunate situation I got into. I got Krishna, and instead of asking something, instead of serving something, instead of doing something, I am asking something petty, perishable things. What stupid I am. And acharyas have exhibited this behavior. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, at the age of 3, in his house one day, there was a boga that was sent, that was going to be offered to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going to offer mangoes. But as a small boy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj desired to eat that mangoes that were kept for offering to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him that what kind of child are you that before offering to Krishna you are desiring to enjoy? So that words, that feel of guilt was so high for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. For the rest of his life, he took a sankalpa that he will never eat mangoes. It was a childish act, but then he took responsibility upon himself that because of this act of guilt, because of this mistake of mine, I will perform some austerity. So in our spiritual journey, it is extremely important that we build in this quotient for us to expedite, very soon come out of this vicious loop of being in this materialistic consciousness. Hence, a guilt consciousness is to be inculcated or is to be noticed for us to practice Krishna consciousness. We can have a separate discussion exclusively on this guilt science, but I want to drive a separate point. So, we'll limit here. So, this is about feeling guilty about oneself. But a person, because he is feeling guilty about himself or his acts or his decisions, he should not put it upon ourselves and put it upon others and try to apply the same principle on others. In fact, one of the symptoms of being really guilty is we consider ourselves very low, which means getting to the humble zone, and we try to give all the credit, all the appreciations, all the glorification about all the other fellow members. I'll give another example of guilt. Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami used to consider himself so fallen that he would hesitate to walk in the streets where the Pandas and the Pujaris of Lord Jagannath walk. He says, I am actually a Shudra or a person with low consciousness. I am not even fit enough to walk nearby or the same road and streets as the Pujaris of Jagannath. So, he used to take a longer route, go via little longer via the beach road and all the way to, you know, go to his place, wherever he wants to go. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Haridas Thakur, Vasudev, the leper devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can go on and on. We can go on and add how each and every one of them, in their own spiritual journey, they demonstrated that the sense of guilt is something that is needed to be inculcated for practicing Krishna consciousness nicely. So this is very important for our self-reflection. And each and every one of them, even though they are very exalted, superlative devotees, they gave respect to each and everybody, even to a Kanishta Bhakta, so much so that became a very good example for us. So, as a part of our first reflection, a guilt-ridden person for himself in their spiritual journey should make himself go stronger in Krishna consciousness, and this guilt is not about sulking and getting rid of the service. It is about to do more and more service, because the services can only purify us. Probably we do those services in which our ahankar, our ego, our pride doesn't come out, in a sense of some external recognizable or position related services, rather we take some humble service. And as a second part of the first reflection is where individual devotees should give utmost respect and should not apply the philosophy of guilt on others. This is meant for us, as I always say, being pessimistic to oneself and optimistic on others. The third aspect of guilt is that if we constantly give credit and not blame, rather accept the blame upon ourselves for every disappointment and give the credit to our spiritual master and the Vaishnava community for all the successes. This may sound extremely rude, this may sound extremely funny, this may sound extremely whatever. But then, if you deeply analyze the life of Acharyas, we see this very clearly. Prabhupada explains the last point. He says, although he got the result of Vishnu Mantra by the causeless mercy of the Lord, he lamented how foolish he was to have strived for material benefits while practicing devotional service. In other words, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service and Krishna consciousness should be completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. Technically speaking, all of us practicing devotees, we go through this dilemma, we go through this situation of split personality disorder or multiple personality disorder. What is the disorder all about? When we are with devotees and devotees devotional association, things are very nice and going pretty good. But when we are in the association of not so devotional situation, we tend to bend towards our material aspirations. So this particular situation what Dhruva Maharaj is in is not so new to us. Probably this is something that we face every day. So, to summarize the first reflection, the sense of guilt is extremely needed for a practicing devotee. And actually it means I feel a need of me to go through a purificatory process, purification, and feeling myself humbler, lower, and I feel always respectful towards others. And third is, I always give credit to my superiors and Vaishnava community and take the blame upon myself. So this sense of guilt helps one in making a steady and faster progress in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we may be patting our back, knowing that we still have a lot of things to improve upon, which is not so healthy. The second reflection that I was talking about is from Madhurya Kadambini. To just analyze why these situations of why are we trying to do both? I mean, why are we desiring to do both? In the sense, I agree that Krishna consciousness is special and I equally understand materialism is bad and they can't coexist. And a very, very special case like Dhruva Maharaj, it is, a special case. But in our situation, we desire such things. Where is this coming from? So for that, I would like to, explain this part of five kleshas which are there in the heart which causes us such destructive thinking. They are explained by Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and these five are avidya, which means ignorance. Second is called asmita, which means false ego. Third is raga, which means attachment. Fourth is dvesha, which means hatred. Fifth is abhinivesha, which means we are afraid of losing our things. So these five are a root cause because of which, even after coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, we wobble. So this wobbling is not something unusual or that unknown of. So when we feel guilty, we should also have a sense of confidence that this process will not let me down. If somebody is only guilty and does not understand about the power of this Krishna consciousness process, will rather lose Krishna consciousness, because sometimes guilt-ridden person does not have a solution, sulks and sulks and sulks and give up. So acharyas are very clearly, categorically explaining that please note that these challenges in Krishna consciousness are not unusual, because that is the nature of this material world. And since we are part of this material world since time immemorial, it is extremely important that we understand and get to the root of it and not just superficially attend things. Unfortunately, any process apart from the Vaishnava Siddhanta, they only address the problems superficially. They only address the things on a very, very high level. They does not touch to the root level. Only the process of Bhakti Yoga, only the process of Vaishnava Siddhanta has got the power to go till the bottom of the problem and fix them. So the bottom is very nicely explained. The root cause of all the kleshas are these five: avidya, ignorance; asmita, false ego; raga, attachment; dvesha, hatred; abhinivesha means one who is attached to the sense enjoyment so much so that he is afraid that death will take it away. And Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura goes on further. It's getting little technical, but it's good to have little technical sometimes. He explains little further, which means in the anartha nivritti stage, okay sir, I have identified the anarthas, I have identified the root cause which is causing me to wobble. When these anarthas are getting cleansed, my devotion is also in a very, you know, precarious condition. It's neither, you know, zero state, not 100% good state. It's in between state. So at that time, a practitioner needs to be very careful and fan the Bhakti Lata Bheej, water the Bhakti Lata Bheej, shelter the Bhakti Lata Bheej, put a fence around the Bhakti Lata Bheej and uproot the weeds. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained, there is one plant which looks exactly like Bhakti Lata next to the plant of Bhakti. So as we sow the seed, as we receive the seed from the spiritual master, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeeva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bheej, the person who received the Bhakti Lata Bheej and the Bhakti Lata is growing, we are watering by chanting, we are fencing by avoiding offenses, we are giving Vaishnava association like sunlight, we are also feeding them nice prasadam as, you know, manure. We are doing those things. But there are weeds which also come around it. Some weeds are very obvious that we can easily uproot them, but some weeds are not obvious. And that's where Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains, these weeds are so similar, look-alike, like Bhakti Lata, or the sapling of Bhakti, unless and otherwise we are under able guidance, he may mistake the weed as a seed, or the weed as a real tree or a sapling, and the real Bhakti Lata as a weed. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains there that hence a practicing devotee need to very carefully uproot the unwanted weed through the systematic, sincere process of practicing Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And the correlation that I am bringing here is where Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura talks about six categories of unsteady devotional service. The reason we need to talk about the six categories of unsteady devotional service is we practitioners sometimes get elated or we believe others' appreciation. As we discussed, Vaishnavas are generally kind. So when they give a kind appreciation, "Wow, Ram Giridhari Prabhu, you are a very nice devotee," we immediately believe them that they are saying the truth. They are saying things because of their good heart. But we should know where do we stand. We should know what to believe in. We should know what to subscribe. So we have a fundamental disease of accepting somebody's appreciation about us as truth and questioning somebody's blame on us as their anarthas, which is very funny. So hence, Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura lists about six different unsteady devotional service. And the reason he is saying is, if he learned to identify, at least I will know that I can inculcate some amount of guilt to remove the unsteadiness and eventually head towards steadiness. So I'll just tell the six of them. We may not be able to go through each of them at length because each unsteady devotional service can be discussed in one session per se. But then I just want to, you know, do a overview of the context. So I just want to list them. The six unsteady devotional service progress in six unsteady progresses in devotional service are six things. Are number one, false confidence, or one may be puffed up with enthusiasm. Number two, sporadic endeavor, which means being sometimes diligent and other times negligent. Third is indecision, which means extensive speculation. The mind spends time pondering on whether to renounce or keep it. Fifth, struggle with the senses or inability to give up sense enjoyment. Fifth, inability to uphold vows, which results in the inability to improve in one's devotional service. The last one is enjoying the facilities offered by bhakti, that is material gain, worship and position, puja, labha, pratishtha. And these six are sometimes seen as devotion or sometimes seen as a mixed devotion, but Viswanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, if you deeply analyze, that the weeds of these are to be removed. Because of this false confidence, which looks like confidence, which may give us a hope that this is, we are in the progress of Krishna consciousness and I am confident, but sometimes we may get carried away. So the reason I am saying is this, for us to execute our first reflection of being self-guilty, we need to know the root cause where we get carried away from Krishna consciousness and get mixed up into adulterated stage of devotion, which is quite common these days and quite uncommon in the devotional circle. Srila Prabhupada established Krishna consciousness to make us Goswamis. Srila Prabhupada established this Krishna consciousness movement to elevate us from Naradama to to Mahatma and to get to the stage of Mahatma, we need to find out all the minuscule, minute anarthas within us and try to remove them. So these six that I listed down, they are number one, false confidence, otherwise called utsahamahi, which means one may be puffed up with enthusiasm. Second is called sporadic endeavor, being sometimes diligent and other times negligent, which is called gana tarala. Third is called indecision, which is extensive speculation, where the mind spends time pondering on whether to renounce or keep. This is called viuda vikalpa. And fourth is struggle with the senses or inability to give up sense enjoyment. It's called vishaya sangara. And fifth, inability to uphold vows, which results in the inability to improve in one's devotional service, typically following four regulative principles, keeping up of initiation vows, marriage vows, and various things. This is called niyamakshana. And last but not least, the desire to enjoy the results of bhakti, which is called puja labha pratishtha. Rather than actually doing bhakti, we are interested in the byproducts of bhakti. It's called taranga rangini. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, this is called anishtita bhakti. This is called anishtita bhajana kriya. In bhajana kriya, there are two parts. One is called nishtita, which means steady devotional service. Second is called anishtita, unsteady devotional service. And these are classified as unsteady devotional service. Even though in this particular context, Dhruva Maharaj was blessed with devotional service as well as material opulence, those of us who are struggling between these both in our spiritual journey, as Srila Prabhupada writes, a Vaishnava devotee should always be anabhilashita sunya, free from all material aspirations for the results of fruitive activities or empiric philosophical speculation. Dhruva Maharaja was actually initiated by Narada Muni, the greatest Vaishnava, in the chanting of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This mantra is a Vishnu mantra, for by practicing the chanting of this mantra, one is elevated to the Vishnu Loka. Dhruva Maharaja regrets that although he was initiated in the Vishnu mantra by a Vaishnava, he still aspired for material benefits. That was another cause for lamentation. So the whole point here is that we need to find out the root cause of why we are going through this mood swings or multiple personality disorder. So these are all the indications from acharyas to help us fix them. So to fix them is a last reflection. I may take slightly little 2 minutes extra to finish. It's about how do we apply Krishna consciousness. So because Krishna consciousness, most of the times we go in conversation and theoretical context. Isopanishad mantra number 17. It's a very interesting prayer if you happen to read that. Isopanishad says, my dear Lord, at the time of death, please remember all that I had done to you. It's a very interesting, prayer. This mantra is about, it may sound apparently that it's like this. Let this temporary body be burned to ashes and let the air be merged with the totality of air. This is mantra number 17. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. Because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. So the interesting part here is that for the Lord to remember all that we have done, we have to do something. Just go on just speaking and not getting in action is not fully solve the problem. So we are going to have the last reflection about how to actually do a practical application of Krishna consciousness. Number one, as Dhruva Maharaj did, even though it is with adulteration or initially with the material motive, Srila Prabhupada says, burning desire. Desire is the first step to apply. See, when we hear various Siddhanta, it is extremely important somewhere we develop this desire to apply what we hear. If we don't desire to apply, we just only hear to show we are intellectually satisfied, that doesn't solve the purpose. So the first step to go on applying Krishna consciousness and do Krishna consciousness action, not Krishna conscious conversation only in terms of theoretical understanding, is to develop a very strong desire. And the second aspect is about prayers. One is desire, second is prayers. Based on the desire, our prayers are refined. Very important to note here is, just because we offer our prayers, it does not entitle us. There is no entitlement that the result is awarded to us. Advaita Acharya offered his prayers, and the response we got for that was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descending. But Advaita Acharya patiently waited to receive the mercy. So it is not that just I desired and I prayed, so I should get the result. So I strongly have a burning desire and I pray, and there will be three things need to remember during the prayer. One is detachment, because what we pray need not necessarily be sanctioned by the Lord, because it is the Lord who has to sanction this. And number two, we pray with conviction, knowing that Krishna hears it and Krishna is. And third is, we pray with patience. If Krishna wants to sanction, he will sanction at his own pace, not with our own pace. And third, for us to apply Krishna consciousness is associating with bona fide devotees and do what? Experience, evaluate, educate us and empathize them and humbly seek their help to handhold us in the process of application. We don't associate with bona fide devotees just for the sake of identity. We associate and experience Krishna conscious. We evaluate where do we stand. So we educate how do we improve from there. We empathize their position in the sense that where do they stand and where do I stand. And definitely seek their help to hold our hand and take us forward. But having done all these things, we take responsibility of our actions. And the last is reflect. We need to constantly reflect if and how much we are genuine and resonating with our prayers and desires and what we learn from our seniors. It is a very important step. Many a times we tend to overlook this stage, and hence our motive should be not for getting glory. Our motive should be not for getting Aishwarya or wealth. Our motive is not for an entertainment. And our motive is only one, which is going back home, back to Godhead. A very famous example is Parikshit Maharaj. He did not only hear, he also applied what he heard. Dundukari, he did not only hear Srimad Bhagavatam, he applied. So in our Krishna consciousness journey, application forms a very important step. So the way forward is, how do we apply what we heard and what we reflected upon matters a lot. So with this, I end here. And before concluding, we will summarize what we discussed today. We discussed three sets of reflections. Number one is about the sense of guilt for a sadhaka. And in guilt, we spoke about three aspects. Number one aspect is about feeling guilty about one's imperfections or one's deviation in Krishna consciousness or one's struggle in Krishna consciousness. Number two, whilst one is reflecting and self-introspecting, how do we treat others with all respect and appreciation? And three is, we give credit of all the success to our predecessors and blame ourselves for all the challenges and failures. And the second is, we analyze the root cause of our desire for materialistic association or an adulterated Krishna consciousness. We discussed about five root causes, which is avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha, ignorance, false ego, attachment, hatred, and fear of losing them at the time of death. And Vishnada Chakravarti Thakura says, there are six anishtita bhajana kriya, which is six stages of unsteady devotional service. And he says, utsahamayi, which is false confidence, ganatarala, which is sporadic endeavor, yuda vikalpa, which is indecision, visaya sangara, which is struggle with senses, niyamakshana, which is inability to uphold vows, and tarangarangini, which is enjoying the facilities of offered by bhakti. And these six can be mitigated. There are many more steps Madhurya Kadamini explains, but as a simple practical conversation, we need to start applying what we hear in Krishna consciousness sessions and associations. And as a part of application, there are four steps. Step number one is desire, not just desire, burning desire. Number two is prayer with detachment, with conviction and with patience. Number three is associating with bona fide devotees to experience, evaluate, educate, empathize, and humbly seek their help to handholders. And last but not least, we learn to reflect day in, day out. If I am applying what is being told to us, if I am taking advantage of my association without any motives, without desire for glory, without any desire for Aishwarya. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Hare Krishna, any questions or comments?
Krishna Prabhuji?
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Namat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, can you explain one time more anishtita, that nishtita and anishtita you were explaining, yes, in the class?
In the point that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains, that first is called Shraddha, okay? Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, and further is other stages. So what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains is Shraddha is of two categories. One is called Swabhaviki Shraddha, which means spontaneous Shraddha. I am very Shraddha from the time of birth, or, you know, very natural, very spontaneous. The second type of Shraddha is called by some force or by some enforcing, by some imposition. So with this Shraddha, we try to get some Sadhu Sangha. And in the Sadhu Sangha, we do Bhajana Kriya. There are two categories of bhajana kriya, two types of bhajana somebody does. One is called nishtita bhajana kriya, which is called steady devotional service. I am very steady in what I am doing. Second is called anishtita, which means unsteady. This unsteadiness is again because of the anartha within us. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains, is showing us this unsteadiness is because of some weeds, a wrong identification of weeds as bhakti, and because of that, we don't make steady progress in Krishna consciousness. This is better than not being in Krishna consciousness, but if you are not so serious, not so focused, we may get carried away. Hence, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura explains about this unsteady devotional service, and those are the six categories that I spoke about. After explaining this, in Madhurya Kadamani, he is explaining about the Nishtita Bhakti, and he is explaining different symptoms of them. We can discuss sometime in the future about this. If you want more details, you can refer Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So well as Bhanuswami Maharaj has given a very good translation to this. I mean, it is all available for you to read.
Okay, Prabhu. Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Can you just explain, Prabhu, that you were explaining six types? Just our little bit.
Utsahamayi, which is false confidence, or one may be puffed up with enthusiasm. Janatarala, which is sporadic endeavor, which means being sometimes diligent and other times negligent. We always see that sometimes we are very serious. We get up for Mangalarti, we do all the things meticulous. Some other day we sleep till 11 o'clock. You know, doesn't know what to do and kind of. So we are very sporadic in our endeavors. The third is talking about indecision. Fourth is struggle with senses. Fifth is inability to uphold vows. And sixth is about we get carried away by the results of bhakti.
Mommy. Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other questions? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, thank you so much. Especially on the 6 points, you just extended upon
Prabhu, I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear you. Can you be a bit closer to the microphone? Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Yeah, Hare
Krishna. Yeah. What is your name, Prabhu?
Mataji Vikalp here from Charlotte.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Vikalp Prabhu, welcome to the call.
Yeah, go ahead, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so Prabhuji, my question was on this third point, on these 6 points which you just explained, that excessive speculation about the renunciation.
Uh-huh.
So indecisiveness, like with what to do and what not to do. So how to get rid of this indecisiveness, Prabhuji? Like how to arise so that we can get steady in our devotional service more and more.
Honest, guided introspection is what the standard answer that we always have for indecisiveness. For indecision, you need to be honest that you are indecisive. Number two, you need to be guided, and you also need to introspect. So, for guidance, you need to have somebody senior to whom you can go and confess, and he won't exploit you, or he won't, going this forward. So, basically, the practicing devotee should definitely go and associate with somebody who is senior in his consciousness, superior in his consciousness, than his consciousness. And we also parallel introspect on a regular basis. So, HGI is a principle that I constantly recommend for people, or for all of us who are indecisive in nature. And Srila Prabhupada, personally, day before Shri, I read a letter about Srila Prabhupada's letter to Gopal Krishna Maharaj. It's a very interesting letter that I read. Fantastic letter. Maybe I should read them. So, the Gopal Krishna Maharaj, I think it's 1972 or 73 sometime, he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada asking various questions. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to go and settle in India and, this and that. Let me read that letter. I think it's not a pretty big one though. So, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that it is very nice that you are consulting me every, for everything. Please keep doing that. I'll be very happy to, support you, help you in this, decision. Okay. My dear Gopala Krishna, please accept my blessings. I beg to thank you very much for your letter dated July 26, 1969, and I have noted the contents carefully. Regarding your future settlement in India, you can work in any big city like Bombay or Delhi, because without living in a big city, you cannot have a good job. You can also try Calcutta. Calcutta is also a very big industrial city, and if you are posted there, it will be easier for you to look after the Mayapur contemplated temple. But it does not matter whether you are situated in Bombay, Calcutta or Delhi. Wherever is suitable, you can accept. Regarding your dress, you should dress yourself as smartly as possible. Krishna consciousness does not depend on the dress. It is consciousness. If by dressing yourself very nicely, you get honor from your customers, then it is a great asset for business management. So far as your diploma in business management from McGill University is concerned, you must have it by all means. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is enjoined by Srila Rupa Goswami that any work, either prescribed in the Vedas or ordinary mundane activities, if the target is to satisfy Krishna, then everything is devotional service. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is recommended by Suta Goswami that ultimate perfection of an engagement is tested by the satisfaction of the Lord. Our aim should be how to please Krishna. As it is said in English also, the ends justify the means. So it is my request to you that keep Krishna always in view and accept anything necessary for your worldly affairs. I am very pleased to note that in such things you consult me. This is a very nice habit. You will please always consult me before doing anything, and I shall try to guide you to my best abilities. Regarding distribution of BTG, or there are further note to that context. So the whole point is Srila Prabhupada was trying to, you know, highlight how, you know, in fact the earlier days when Prabhupada disciples, they didn't know anything else apart from consulting Srila Prabhupada. For every small thing, they used to write to Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada did respond to each and every one of them as much as, you know, he could manage. And I think to continue the legacy, we should also learn to do two things. To be somebody good enough to help some practicing devotees, so you should be ready to guide as well to take consulting. Both ways. I should only look up to people who can help me. Then what will happen to the new generation? So we need more and more people to come forward to help the new generation. So we should be both ways. Take help as well as give help. So honest guided introspection is my answer. Is that okay? Making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji. It's very helpful. Thank you so much. And I may reach out to you, Prabhuji, for some personal guidance as well, if you don't mind.
Sure, Prabhuji. You can text me. You can WhatsApp me, whatever.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, ma. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you were telling in the class about the prayers. I mean, when we feel that, and then because you were talking about hold the guilty, and then we should not feel. Sometimes it happens because when we feel we cannot do anything, then we sometimes become very distressful. But no, we should not be like that. I mean, we should have that confidence. And then grow in Krishna consciousness. How we manage that, Prabhu? Sometimes it's difficult.
The whole point is that only was explaining. I was giving an example of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya did his prayer to the Supreme Lord Narayana, to his own Shaligram, requesting the Lord to descend as promised. So he prayed with conviction, because he knew Krishna is hearing our prayers. Number two, he prayed with detachment, because if Krishna comes or don't come, doesn't matter, I am doing my job. And third is, he is praying with patience. So these three are a very good combination. That is why in Sanatana Goswami's Siksha to, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with Sanatana Goswami are the six principles of Sharanagati. One of the principles is, Rakshishyadi Viswaso, which means a practitioner has got so much conviction that Krishna will protect. It is impossible for Krishna to let down a devotee. To get to this understanding is something very, very important for at least practicing devotees. It is impossible for the Lord to give pain to his devotees. I'm not even talking about pure devotees. It is impossible for the Lord to instill pain in a devotee. If at all you are going through some challenges, it is a phase which the Lord wants us to go through to purify our existence. It is not the Lord's punishment. It is definitely not something that, maybe sometimes our anarthas might cause this, pain. So we'll have to watch out for that. But if you are sure that I have not done any offenses, if I have not done any Vaishnava aparad or, Naam aparad, if I'm clean and in spite of that I'm going through some challenges, we need to accept them as Krishna's arrangement to take us through a journey. So the bottom line is, any time when we pray, at least we should have that conviction that Krishna protects. That's a very interesting story that I remember. It may take a couple of minutes to explain. It's a funny one. There was a guy who was a drunkard. I mean, he was such a guy, and he used to drink every day and used to be always intoxicated himself. And incidentally, he was also an atheist. So this guy was doing a business of running a liquor shop. So this guy set up a liquor shop right opposite to the temple. So this guy set up the liquor shop so much so close to the temple that the temple authorities felt offended and went and told him that, why are you doing this? This is our temple, so don't set up a liquor shop. He says that this is my property and I can do whatever I want. And I don't believe in God, so I give any damn to your temple. So there ensued a big argument. And this argument went so intense that, the temple authorities cursed him. All the temple people, they joined together and cursed that we curse you that your shop is completely finished and your business is not going to thrive anymore. In the name of Lord, we curse you. So then they left home. Whatever happened the night, there came a very huge hurricane. And his entire shop got collapsed and he lost the whole shop. So the next day morning, he came and the whole shop was over. And he went and filed a case against the temple authorities. He said the temple authorities are the cause for my shop to be collapsed. So the case came to the court. And in the argument, this guy is saying, because these guys cursed in the name of the Lord, my shop came to ground. And these guys who are the temple authorities saying that, we didn't do anything, we just cursed. We just said something. We are not responsible. How are we responsible? We didn't go on break. We didn't do anything. So in the whole set of argument, what happened was, this guy's argument came because he believed in his argument came to an extent that Lord exists. So do your curse has an effect. So because of which my shop got collapsed. And those who gave the curse say that, I do not know, how it happened. It's all because of, flood, famine or whatever that is. So we do not know. It's a bit funny story that somebody forwarded. But sometimes it may so happen that we as practicing devotees fail to recognize Krishna's hand behind our success or failure. Sometimes atheists or non-believers see the Lord's hand. Even though they don't agree, they try to give them in a, slightly different perspective. So it is extremely important as a practicing devotee to acknowledge that after surrendering to a spiritual master, it is impossible for the Lord to give us pain because He is our Father. So if we have the fundamental understanding, every time when we face challenges, we will look at the challenges in a slightly different perspective. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Prabhuji, I have another question regarding your class. I mean, we should have a desire. I mean, when we read Bhagavatam, we should apply it. At least we should have that desire to apply. I mean, Prabhu, sometime I was hearing some of the lecture. First of all, we should deserve before desire, the devotee, some very advanced devotee, they are quoting in that way. How we take as, because how we take as that statement, because right now we don't have that qualification to desire whatever we desire, we don't deserve.
The prerequisite of desire is to know. If I do not know what is Niagara Falls, I will not know to desire to go there. So the process is Shraddha, have a little Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha. In Sadhu Sangha, you get to know many information. When you get to know them, then you can desire for them. So that is why we have to come to Bhagavatam class, so at least you know certain things. The very famous story, Srila Prabhupada says, that a thief came to the Bhagavatam class. He didn't know who Krishna was. He came to the Bhagavatam class. In the Bhagavatam class, the speaker spoke about Krishna and Krishna's beauty, and he gave direction where Krishna lives in Vrindavan. So with eagerness, he went to search Krishna, because according to the description, Krishna wore so many ornaments. And when he went with eagerness to the forest, he saw Krishna face to face. So the desire, the burning desire can come only when we know what to desire for. And for us to know what to desire for, we need to come. And so that is why we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Initially we hear Bhagavatam to get to know what is what. Then we start desiring for it. So the process is not, I know, very, rushing. It can be very systematic and peacefully we can make necessary progress. Make sense?
Yes, yes, brother. Thank you so
Hare
much.
Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Bol. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dharmat Pranam, Shala Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I have, it's a silly question, but I have always doubt that, you know, if I'm not pure devotee, Krishna won't protect me. So, how can it be possible that he is, okay, like, I know he is protecting, like, by the Shastra and all the Bhagavatam story, but I have this doubt that I'm not a pure devotee, so he won't protect me whenever I need.
Yeah, sure. Srila Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class. And when he was giving a Bhagavatam class, I think I've shared this more than once in this session, or maybe in this, any one of the sessions, I don't know where. So when Srila Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class, in the class he mentioned, or maybe when he ended the class, saying that each and every one of us need to be 100% Krishna consciousness. So for us to go back home, back to Godhead. So then, he finally ended the class and everybody said, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Then he was about to get up from the Vyasasan and he said, even if somebody is 90% Krishna conscious, he can make it to Krishna. Then he got up and went towards the altar and offered his obeisances. And when he got up, he said, even if somebody is 80% Krishna conscious, he can make it. Then he was going towards the car, and suddenly he stopped and said, even if somebody is 70% Krishna conscious, he can still make it to, you know, the Supreme Lord. And finally, when he was getting inside the car, so that 60% would also do, Krishna will take him to, you know, the spiritual abode. So the message here is, if Krishna had to leave us back, we will suffer, but Krishna equally misses. So Krishna's agenda is not to, you know, reject us. Krishna's journey is, what do we do so that we get qualified to go back, to go back to Him. So it is a very famous story of how ISKCON got into 16 rounds. So when we chanted, originally we used to all, when ISKCON initially were the days, that everybody is encouraged to chant 64 rounds. So, then all the devotees in the early days came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, chanting 64 rounds is very, very difficult. So, then Srila Prabhupada says, all right, make it to 32. So, then they were all very happy and said that, oh my God, so we can only chant only 32 rounds, that's good enough. So, then suddenly one day they came to Srila Prabhupada and said that even 32 rounds is very difficult. Then Prabhupada said, okay, at least make it to 16 rounds. So then they were all very happy, and after a few days they came back to Srila Prabhupada and said that, Srila Prabhupada, 16 rounds is also very difficult. And Prabhupada said, nothing doing beyond this, minimum 16 rounds is final. So nectar of instruction, text number 5. I will read a paragraph for you. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. This is from Nectar of Instruction, verse number 5, purport. Everyone begins his devotional life from the neophyte stage. But if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Harina, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttamadhikari. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beads. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen. So this is the message. The point, bottom line is, we are neophytes, we are not so serious, but at least can we do things without duplicity, with little sincerity, that's good enough. Am I making sense? Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Can I ask one question?
Yeah, ma. Go ahead.
Okay, so this question is from Lavanya Mataji. Since she's busy, she texted me. So the question is, can you tell ways how to overcome being negligent in devotional activities?
How to overcome being negligent in being in Krishna consciousness? One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if book Bhagavata or devotee Bhagavata, which is more important? Srila Prabhupada said, devotee Bhagavata. I have mentioned this more than once, well, I mean more than five times probably in the discussions here, that because a devotee Bhagavata can tweak your ears and drag you to Krishna's lotus feet. So the message is, in Mumbai, if you have to go in the local train in the morning, not sure who is from the, you know, Mumbai in this call, but if you don't, you go on YouTube and see Mumbai morning local train journey. During the office hours, if you have to board the local train in Mumbai, you need to have a technique. If you have to board the train or if you have to come out of the train, you need to have a technique. Technique is that we need to make sure somehow or other we position ourselves in front of the gate of the train. Unlike metros, the local trains in Mumbai does not have the doors. They are always open. So I have traveled this myself, so I am talking out of my experience. All you need to do is that somehow position yourself in front of the gate of the train. In 1/10 seconds, 1,000 men come in and come out. So it's unimaginable. Only if you see it or experience it, you'll know it. And the way it happens is, if you are in front of the gate, somebody will push you in. And similarly, when you have to come out, make sure that you are in front of the gate. Somebody will push you out. So I used to always jokingly say that sandwich ourselves between two devotees, two sincere devotees. So he will push you in and he will push you out. So the best way to come out of the negligence, it's called, one of the laziness or negligence is one of the most gravest offenses, especially it is considered as an offense for inattentive chanting. There are five offenses of inattentive chanting. One of them is laziness. And this negligence comes out of the laziness. the easiest and best way to get out of the laziness is to sandwich ourselves between doing. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful class, realizations. You know, that's a treasure of realizations that you share with your experience. Really, such a, I mean, I should say it's a real fortune and treasure for us. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Tadvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for wonderful class and your assistance.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Very, very wonderful class and very nice realization, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you for constantly engaging me in this. It keeps me on the toes that, you know, I need to serve you all nicely. So thank you for engaging me always. Okay, if there are no more questions,
yeah, thank you so much,
end the
Prabhuji,
class.
Such show. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Sharing your realizations. So thank you so much, and we are very grateful to you, and we look forward to your association again in future.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vinaya Mataji, do you have a question?
No, Mataji, I was saying it was very, very beautiful. We have witnessed to answer this question. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful question and session and very beautiful class.
Thank you, Mataji. So, no one has any questions, so we can end the call now. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo 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 Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki.